Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions. We've got some great feedback from listener Frank about the real differences between the values, moderates, and deluxe hotels down at Walt Disney World. You don't want to miss this because he's right. We missed it, and he got it spot on. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm down to 28 days to go until we head to Walt Disney World for the Summit Cheerleading Championships at ESPN 4 weeks from today. I get excited for this trip. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but I'm still excited, and I get pumped up every time I look down at my phone to get a text message, to place a phone call, or to post to social media. Great pictures. I can customize the font, the message, get audio alerts. It's a great app. You need it on your Apple device right now. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. A huge shout out to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You still get all your Prime benefits. It costs you nothing extra, and it is an easy way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. So the next time you go to do some shopping online, click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1467 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. We hope everybody reserved their times for paintball over at Fort Wilderness and Mermaid School. I hope everybody got on that this past couple of days because you know what? Those things are filling up quickly. But that's just one of the great services you get with the Be Our Guest podcast. We love our listeners and we love taking care of you. And speaking of that, we're going to take care of your listener questions right now. Joining me, she's going to be gone soon, but she's here today and Friday. We have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Ricky, can't believe you're moving to Europe. That's amazing. I love it. How's it going?
With the way I'm packing, it sure feels like I am moving to Europe. I'm like, okay, let's throw everything in the suitcase. And can I just say, Pam, I love you. I just want to tell you that right now. I love you very much. You have introduced me now to packing cubes, and they are amazing. Oh, my God.
I will add you to the list. I have introduced many a folk to the packing cube, and it is life-changing, right?
I can't even tell you. Like, at first, I saw the cube, and I'm like, okay, ha, ha, ha. My clothes are going to fit in this. Yeah, right. You know, like, something like that. And then I started, like, rolling up my clothes and putting it in there, and oh, my goodness, I have so many pairs of clothes in my bag, and I have extra room, and I'm not even taking the big suitcase. It's the medium size.
Wait until you get there, and you have to do this to unpack. Take it out of the suitcase, put it in the drawer, boom.
Done. I am definitely a convert now. So there's so much room for more activities in my suitcase. This just means souvenirs are coming. Awesome.
Gotta bring stuff home. No,
they are great. Seriously. I get nothing from the packing cube people, whoever they are.
Like, what was so awesome is I have one for my jeans, right? And I literally, like, instead of laying it flat and taking up so much room, I put it straight up and I'm like, oh, this saves so much space.
I know, right?
So anyway, I love you, Pam Forrester. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Well, I love you too, even though you haven't introduced me to packing cubes, but
that's all right.
All right. Also joining us from the Magic for Less Travel, the co-owner up there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where my St. Louis Cardinals just won a marathon baseball game at PNC. How's it going, Pam? Happy Wednesday.
It's going good. Happy
whatever day.
Wednesday. It's Wednesday today.
Happy Wednesday. You know, I'm happy for you that your Cardinals won.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
You know, but we do have that beautiful park. I will
it's
say
awesome
the beautiful
looking.
Ballpark. Yeah, it is. It is the most beautiful park there is. So, but it was cold, I will just say. Very, very cold.
It was. So. All right. Well, hey, let's get to the questions and the comments from our inbox. It's Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. If you have anything you would like to add to the show, first, we're going to Frank. Doesn't say where he's from, but he's got some great comments. It's the difference between the values, moderates, and deluxes. He says, we missed it. And we did, actually. He said, I believe you missed the biggest difference between the different level of the Disney resorts. I've stayed at just about all the resorts over the years and forget the differences in room size, views, balconies, amenities, etc. The biggest difference is toilet paper. The value paper you can put into your eyes and almost see through it. The moderate paper is, well, moderate in quality. Not the greatest, not the worst. The deluxe paper is more appropriate for the high dollars you're paying for your room. Can't believe you missed this difference. So, Pam, I know you've stayed at most resorts. I can tell you what, because I shared this one with my wife, Pam, and she's exactly right. When we stay at a value, you know, we have no problem staying at Pop Century or any of the All-Stars. Like, you know, that just depends on what our goals are for that trip. But, I mean, my wife does say that when we stay at a value, she doesn't like the sandpaper. You know, she likes to pack a roll or two and bring it with her. She does say that.
It absolutely is a difference. And I will tell you, I've stayed at all the Disney resorts many times, not just almost. This is my claim to fame. I want it on a freaking t-shirt.
Yes, I've stayed at all the Disney resorts.
Many times. So anyways, but yeah, no, there really is a difference in the toilet paper. And, you know, I think when you're staying at a value resort, you should bring some with you, maybe. I mean, I'm just saying, I think that the toilet paper quality is absolutely huge. It's not, you know, it's not something I'd make or base my hotel decision on, but I may pack differently depending on where I'm staying. So,
you know, it's funny because we talked about Heine's in Monday's podcast with paintball, and now we're talking about it again on Wednesday with your resort choice. Keeps you happy down there, I guess. I don't know.
That's true.
All right, next question. It says, help first run Disney Star Wars half, T-minus a week. And actually, T-minus like 2 days at this point. It's from Zachary. Hey, help me, BOGP crew. You're my only hope. I'm registered for the Star Wars half this coming Sunday, April 7th. I just booked this trip 2 days ago, and now I'm trying to figure some things out. Great planning strategy, especially considering this is my first run Disney event. I have a few questions that I would love for y'all to answer. Number one, my wife and 9-month-old want to catch me at some point during the race, but definitely don't want to get up at 3 a.m. Since I wasn't able to submit a proof of time, I'll be placed in one of the last corrals. Any suggestion as to where would be a good place for them to watch me, or would meeting at the finish line be the best option? He has a second question after that. So I'm trying to think. I think this one, last year it started in the Magic Kingdom parking lot. Great start place. Oh my gosh, I loved it. It was so nice. I was staying at Wilderness Lodge, so it was easy to get there. I would say yes, that's probably the best place to have your wife and the baby meet you. You don't want to watch maybe in the stands at the finish line, but maybe just up the way. There's like a place where you can stand along the fence as you're coming into the finish. It's probably about 1,000 yards before the finish, maybe 500 yards. That's a good place to watch, or they could get up in the stands, but in the stands it gets a little crowded, and I think you have a little more space stand along the fence. So I would do that. Number two, I have the latest reservation at Ohana I could find at 11:50 booked for after the race. I fully expect to finish the half somewhere around 2.5 hours. Will this be a late enough reservation to get me time to enjoy the race and get a shower before heading to the Poly? We're staying at Art of Animation for hotel reference. Thanks for any information y'all can give me. Keep up the good work and spreading the Disney magic. Zachary is in North Carolina. I would say with 11:50, yes, you're going to be in plenty of time. You will be starting the race at 5:30, finishing the race probably about 8:30 or 9 o'clock by the time, if you're running that pace, and by the time you're starting from the back corral. So if you're done by 9:30, you're getting back to the hotel 10:15, taking a shower. Yeah, you're going to be fine. I think, you know, you'll be close. You'll probably, I would guess you'll be at the Polynesian by 11:30. Easy. Right, Pam? I mean, I'm trying to consider the times, but I think he's going to be fine.
I think so, too. And if you're cutting it close, take an Uber from your resort back to.
Good call.
Don't you think? Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I'd take it right after the race because there will still be some road closures. And actually, Disney Transportation is going to be moving the most efficiently through Walt Disney World at that time. And the most efficiently as compared to, I don't know, like I got to put that in quotes because it won't be the most efficient. But it will be moving as efficient as possible during that time. But by the time you're heading back toward the Polynesian, absolutely, you'll be able to take it an Uber and it'll be running well.
Yeah, the buses have been awesome getting you back a post-race back to your hotel. They've been just great my last few runs. So no problem there. You get back there quickly. All right, cool. Next question. Let's go to the chat here. Oop, it just jumped. And it's from Chris Rivera. It says, we'll be in Walt Disney World July 1 through 6. Which park should we avoid on July 4th and which fast passes are a must? So we will actually be there on the 4th of July as well. I like to be, the park I go to on the 4th of July is always Epcot because I love the 4th of July fireworks at Epcot. And it's the last time to see illuminations with the extra booms for the 4th of July. I love that. I don't know if there's a, Ricky, would you say there's a park to avoid on the 4th of July? I mean, I guess Magic Kingdom if you're going to avoid one.
That's kind of what I'm thinking is Magic Kingdom. Just because it's going to be, you know, everybody's funneled in that one little area. So I think that Magic Kingdom is probably the best bet for where to avoid.
And it is hot in the hub. Man, I swear there are times and it seems like right before fireworks, I swear that hub is warmer right then than it is during like noon or 1 o'clock. Somehow that humidity just hangs there. So anyways,
it does. And I would say fast passes are a must. So if you're going to, it just depends what park you're going to go to. I mean, I recommend Epcot. I like it so much that on the 4th of July, the 3rd and the 4th, I make sure I always stay in an Epcot area resort. This time we're at Yacht Club, so we can just walk in. We tend to not go until the evening, so maybe if you want to do like a Soarin' or a Test Track, grab that and then get some minor attractions, maybe a Spaceship Earth. But really, on the 4th of July, we tend to just get, I think the biggest thing is like last year, I think we wanted, Pam, did we not eat at Chefs de France last year at 4th of July?
We did. And we actually have a reservation there again, I think, this year. But you know what I got for the 3rd?
What's that?
We're going to recreate something if you're game.
Oh, no. What is it?
1900 Park Fair, my friend. God,
yes. What?
We looked tore up from the floor up last time we were there.
1900 Park Fair. It was like... those poor people, like you know, the evil stepsisters were there. We were looking much more evil. Let's just say. But it was so funny. She was so one of the stepsisters was so funny because I was walking by and I apparently ruined her entrance. You remember? She called me out in front of the whole thing. But anyways, we did not buy the picture that they take of you. And golly, I wish we would have because we looked so bad.
Biggest regret ever was not buying that picture. And that'll be that'll be the day we get off the podcast cruise, by the way, because we get off on the 3rd.
Yeah. Right.
So there you go. So we could be all kinds of sad and tired and all kinds of stuff. So that'll be an adventure. Watch Instagram. All right, Natalie's got a question. Just in general, what did you choose, Riverside or French Quarter? And I think it really matters on like your goals of the trip. But Ricky, say somebody's gifting you a trip right now, French Quarter, Riverside, where are you staying?
Oh man, I am staying at Riverside. I just really like Riverside. I think it's beautiful. So Riverside.
Riverside, Rick or Pam, what would you say? I think Riverside has more to offer, but I like the quaintness and the French Quarter just has something. It's hard to put I like Riverside the best just because it's overall got a little bit more going on. But French Quarter's sweet. It's just a cute little resort.
Here's my thing, and here's my reason. So French Quarter, I'm fine with. I feel like you, Mike, that it has a quaintness and a theming that I prefer, actually.
Yes.
My issue is with the pool area. I do not think it is large enough for that. And if I were going like on a trip that was going to be pool intense, that would impact that. Now, not that I can't walk over to Riverside and use their pool as well, because they're sister resorts. Mm-hmm. That's legal. You can use both pools, but that's what it depends on. And I will also say in Riverside, I have been enjoying the Bayou section more than the Mansion section lately. There is just something about that theming that I think is really cool. And I love the quaintness of the rooms and just, it feels very lush over there. So I didn't help at all.
Well, you know, Doug, who's listened to our show for years and years, and they do their podcast, you know, Main Street I can't remember the exact name of it off the top of my head, but, you know, he always raved about, you know, he loved Riverside, and he said, you know, put me back in the furthest point back in Alligator Bayou, because he loved getting up and getting his coffee in the morning and just walking through the rustic feel of that part of the resort. And I'd never stayed in the bayou till this past trip for Marathon Weekend. And you're right, Pam. I mean, it's weird because it is like two separate resorts. I mean, the mansions are so perfectly manicured and just stately, you know, and then you go to the Alligator Bayou and it is like, it's like walking through Princess and the Frog. It's crazy.
It really is. And they're just like, there's water through there too. Mm-hmm. So it really sort of feels like, you know, that you are in the bayou. So I love that.
And shout out to the Griffiths. They're going to be watching the 4th of July fireworks from their new place in their backyard next to the Magic Kingdom. And living the dream. Such a great family. Can't wait to see them soon. All right. Marlise is heading out for a run listening to today's show. So Monday's podcast, have a good run. Have a good time out there. And our next question is from Simon. Hi, everyone from the United Kingdom. Love your show. Coming to Orlando in June with my wife-to-be, 7-year-old daughter and 6-month-old boy. It's our honeymoon, and my wife is 40 on the 4th of July. Wow. And you probably shouldn't say that out loud, but there you go. Hey, and I probably shouldn't have either. Any thoughts on how I can make her birthday even more special? Let's face it, Disney is going to be awesome on the 4th of July, but any extra ideas would be welcome. Thanks for bringing Disney to us all in the UK. I just thought of something. Do they celebrate the 4th of July in the UK? I mean, it's kind of like you lost on the 4th of July. Like, we win, you lose. But I'm just thinking, I don't know, Ricky.
I don't think they celebrate the 4th.
No, I mean, it's like, I'm trying to think of what, well, I don't know. That's kind of a strange thing. I like it, though. I like that you want to celebrate the 4th of July. Yay, America. There you go. All right.
Well, maybe they're just happy for us.
They could be. They're really nice.
Yeah, right. So,
and you know what, Simon, if you're at Epcot, find us, man. We're going to we could reenact like the Revolutionary War or something like that. I mean, that'd be a great video for Instagram. So find us. We'll be there. We'll be something. Look around Japan. We're usually back there around the fireworks. Ricky, so what, 40th birthday, 4th of July. You got, you know, a Brit that's, you know, wanting to celebrate with America. What are you doing here?
Well, I mean, you have to have a great dinner, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely. So definitely plan a dinner. Don't plan it in the America Pavilion.
No, because that would not be a great dinner.
That would not be a great dinner.
A mistake.
Yes, that would definitely be a mistake. But you know, what would make it like completely stepped up is to do one of those Illuminations cruises, I think, instead. Maybe that would be a really great way, because then you'd be on the water, you know, right there for the fireworks that are spectacular. And I think that would be a great 40th birthday.
So, it'd be tough to get. You got to get on that ASAP. Yeah, I bet you they're gone. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. All right. Next question from Kristen in the chat. Do you guys know about the D23 event at Hollywood Studios on May 1st for the 30th anniversary? I'm not a member, but I've got fast passes at the park for that day. Do you think the park will be bonkers? Also, any word on what time the new nighttime projection show will be that night? Thanks so much. And did we mention that there's Fast Pass is now available for Rise of Resistance and Smuggler's Run?
Stop. Do not keep that going.
No,
that's,
I agree.
Terrible.
Okay, that didn't happen.
It's not April Fool's anymore.
That's true. That was a good one, though. All right, Ricky. So, yeah, make sure that was a joke, people. Don't go running to hurt your thumb on My Disney Experience app. Don't do it. All right, Ricky, so what do we know about that D23 event, Hollywood Studios, on May 1st? I'll be there on May 1st. Woohoo!
So I don't know a whole lot about it, but I wouldn't expect, like, crowds to be, you know, huge. They'd probably be, you know, a little bit above average just because it is the opening, you know, that's the anniversary of the park. But I don't expect them to be just ridiculous. So you should be just fine. And as far as the projection show goes, I would expect it would be maybe 15 to 30 minutes before the fireworks are scheduled to go off. That's just a guess, though. I'm entirely sure. Again, we won't know until they actually release the schedule. But I believe it's replacing what's already there, which is the one that celebrates the movies, Disney Movie Magic. So I suspect that whenever that one's taking place right now, or at least scheduled to take place, that would probably be the time that the new show will take place. Just a guess.
All right, there you go. All right, next question says Magical Express Questions. Hey, BOGP crew, I'm in the early phases of planning a weekend getaway for Princess 2020. Right now, it looks like my mother will be going with me and meeting me there. Thanks to room-ready texts and online check-in, I know we would be able to go to each go straight to the room even if we arrive separately, but would there be any issues getting on the Magical Express separately? Should we list the later arrival time or the earlier? I've handled separate departures via Magical Express going back, but never upon arrival. Also, is Magical Express 24 hours? The flight I'm looking at wouldn't arrive until 1 a.m. Anything special that needs to be done for that late, early of an arrival? Go Lizards! Best, Jennifer. All right, Pam, not a problem. So walk Jennifer through this procedure.
It is not a problem. So here are some things you need to take into consideration. When you are going to get on the Magical Express bus at the airport, the only thing you need to really be concerned about is, first of all, that you're signed up for Magical Express, and secondly, that you're listed on the reservation. If your flight time were to change, if your flight times are incorrect, if any of these things happen, it won't impact your ability to go ahead and get on Magical Express. Don't worry about that.
Yep.
And what was the other part of the question?
So she's asking, you know, if it runs 24 hours, it does run 24 hours, yeah, but you will have to fetch your own luggage and just put it on the bus.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, in my one time that I've taken Magical Express, I did fetch my own luggage. You want to know why? Because I wanted to know that it was with me.
Right.
And I didn't want to wait up for it to be delivered. So, you know, there was stuff in there I needed. And if my room was ready, which I knew it would be since I was arriving late, I wanted to have my luggage. So,
you see, if I get in, say, past 8 o'clock, I'll get my own luggage. But otherwise, I don't like the mess. I like, you know, because I'm still new to the flying thing, I like it magically showing up a few hours later. But like, if I know that, say I'm landing after 8 and I know it'll be 10 o'clock by the time I get to the room, man, I'm in bed by 10. I'm an old guy. Like, I got to be in bed. So I don't want somebody at 11:30 with my stuff. You know, I just, mm-hmm, I want to have it with me. But yeah, you know, if I'm getting there in the morning and I have my day bag packed, I'm good. Just bring it to the hotel. I'll mess with it.
Yeah.
All right. Next question's from Jack in the chat. Hey, all, I'm taking my wife to California Grill for dinner, and I'd like to surprise her by wearing a suit. That would surprise my wife if I wore a suit, because I don't own a suit. So that'd be hilarious.
That would be very surprising, because it'd be like you went out on your own exactly, and you purchased it and everything. She'd wow. Like,
who is that spy over there trying to pick me up with a suit on? Anyway, he says, we're going to spend the whole day in Hollywood Studios with the family, and I don't want to wear the thing all day long. Do you think it's workable to just keep it in a locker at the studios until it's time to go to the Contemporary? So, Ricky, what do you do with a suit if you don't want to suit up all? I mean, because think about it, though. Think of the pictures you could have all day at the studios if you wore a suit to the park.
Oh,
like,
no.
You could look like all dapper in front of the like Tower of Terror. You know, like a total spy.
You could look dapper. You could also destroy your suit.
True.
So probably not a great idea.
Would a locker, though, hold a suit? Because are they that large? I mean, I think it would get wrinkled up.
Well, it probably would. But if you want to surprise her, and I mean, that's the best way I can think of to do it. I honestly don't know of any other way.
Pam, if you took it to guest services up front, you think they would cut you some slack if you explained the situation? They just kind of throw it in an office. I think they might.
I would feel more like your chances are, I don't know that guest services would want to take responsibility for that.
Yeah.
I think you have a better chance of going to the Contemporary. And if it's in like a suit bag, asking them to store it with luggage, that may be something that they'd be willing to do. But that's going to be a lot of behind the scenes, though, to hide this all from your wife, right?
That's true.
You'd have to like get up early, take an Uber to the Contemporary,
nice,
have them hold your not be able to pull this off. Let me just tell you this.
No, you just wear that sucker all day long. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, get your mileage out of it. Just think of the memory maker photos. I mean, seriously, like by the Chinese theater, you're standing there looking, you know, and you got to get sunglasses so you kind of look like a spy. Oh man, there's so many.
You're gonna ruin
things.
Your suit.
Well,
yeah.
That's probably why I don't own a suit, because I don't know how to handle it. So anyway. Yeah. All right. Next question says, any tips for a 4-year-old Frozen fanatic and first timer heading to Disney World in November? It's from Elizabeth. Here we go. I'm a new listener to your show and a total newbie to Disney trip planning altogether. Every time I see the word altogether, I think of the movie Airplane. Let's say it altogether. Disney World was not a part of my childhood vacations growing up. My husband and I went once for a quick trip in 2014, pre-kids, and it was then that I decided that being a Disney every year kind of family was going to be a life goal. Anyway, fast forward a few years, we've got our first family trip booked for November 9th through the 14th, 2019. My daughter will be 4 and my son will be 2. She's a total Frozen super fan. I'm hoping to be able to fast pass Frozen Ever After and the Frozen sing-along celebration, but I'm wondering if you know anything else Frozen related that we should look out for, especially with Frozen 2 scheduled for release later that month. Thanks in advance for any tips and doing the show, Liz. All right, Ricky, what else can a Frozen, let me make sure I get it right, a 4-year-old Frozen fanatic and first-timer do for this trip?
Well, there are a couple meet and greets that you are absolutely going to want to do. So the first one is in Epcot, and it is over by the Frozen Ever After attraction. And here you are able to meet Anna and Elsa. So that is going to be key right there. I absolutely think you'd want to meet Anna and Elsa. Mm-hmm. The second thing that you should consider doing is you should go to Disney's Hollywood Studios, and it's in the celebrity spotlight section of the park, and you can actually meet Olaf. So that would be another spot that I think you should absolutely make sure that you go and see, because, I mean, there's something special about getting a warm hug from Olaf, right?
There is. Yeah, he's so cute. And it really is a meet and greet that I think the line doesn't get that bad. Every time I go and do it, I'm like, why isn't this line worse? I mean, you know, not that we ever want to wait in a long line, but it just seems like, you know, that line keeps it under control somehow. So,
yep.
All righty, good stuff. All right, our next question. Let's see here. Tim says, hey, gang, on our upcoming trip, we'll be leaving the Magic Kingdom at noon with our car and checking out Art of Animation and Pop Century, which we have never seen, with plans to eat lunch at one of the food courts. Which of these two is your favorite for lunch and why? Thanks for all you do, Tim. And I know Tim's heading soon. You know, I think this is going to be a place that's going to become a destination with gondolas, you know, running through those resorts. And it's going to be a place, I think, you know, because I think the fans that are not like us, that maybe don't understand Walt Disney World as a whole destination, like the listeners of our show, they might get on a gondola and, you know, check out Caribbean Beach or check out Pop Century Art of Animation. I think it's going to be an opportunity to really see these resorts. They're doing it by car, which I think is cool. I've stayed at both many times. Mm-hmm. I think the food court at Art of Animation is just slightly nicer than Pop Century, but they're both awesome. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can think of is you get real silverware and plates over at Art. You know, and the food's maybe, I don't know. Ricky, do you think one's better? I do like the mac and cheese over at Art. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I think it just depends on what you do with the menu.
Yeah,
I mean, to be perfectly honest, if you look at the menus and see, hey, this one has something that appeals to me a little bit more than the other, then I think that that's where you should go. But both are, I think, fantastic options. And I don't think you're going to go wrong. So pick one, and whichever one you're closest to when you're hungry, that's the one you should eat at. That's my opinion.
I mean, they're very similar, right, Pam? I mean, it's just the Art of Animation is slightly newer. It's kind of like, you know, they took Pop Century and they just plussed it slightly because they learned some things in those few years between.
Yeah, there are a few things that I love at Art of Animation. The Caprese sandwich, which they almost always have, is really good. It has tomatoes and mozzarella and some basil and all kinds of stuff. So love that. There's also the Surf and Surf burger, which is yummy. It's different, right? You can't get that everywhere. And Steak and Egg Burger, both some good things there for lunch. But you're both right. They both have really great things to eat. Oh, see, look, there Melissa's confirming my Surf and Surf Burger suggestion. It's good. It's just different. And you can't get it everywhere. So, but they both have great food courts. And I love to get my food and sit outside in that little area there. I think it's just a cool location. You can sort of hear, like, the pool's there, so you can kind of hear it in the background. And it's just a cool, like, vacation-y thing to do. So both great choices, though. Make sure you walk around both resorts. There's so many great pictures. So.
It is. You're right. I mean, you just brought up something that's really – I just thought about that, and I'm like, it's interesting because – even though, like, at a value resort and you're eating outside of Pop Century or Art of Animation because they're set up kind of like mirror images of each other, you do have the feature pool kind of right nearby. And it's just, it's not really a relaxing sound, you know, like a waterfall. But what it is, it's the sound of excitement in vacation. And you're right. I mean, I love that sound. But, I mean, it's not like something I would fall asleep to with my, you know, device here that I have my dot, you know, that I ask every night to play, you know, rainforest sounds. You know, I do that every night in the bedroom, but it's like, it's not a, you know, a relaxing sound, but it's the sound of vacation and I love it. That's a good point. I never thought about that.
It is. I love those sounds. Those for me, as I'm trying to put my finger on the things that like really impact my vacation and the things that get me excited, it's stuff like that. It's those sounds of like kids and families and people splashing around in the pool and, you know, silly stuff like that, that you really like.
All right. Next question. Best moderate resort for 2020. Mike, Pam and Ricky, I love your podcast and shout out to Mike for booking my last trip to Disney World for my wedding back in December. Thanks for enduring all my questions. Emily, I live here for brides and Disney trip planning questions.
You always have. I mean, I have basically your whole life. Yeah. Let's mine, just be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just telling you, my whole life and Ricky's as well has surrounded, has been, you know, surrounded by brides and grooms and wedding receptions and music and now
absolutely
planning vacations. That's how it is. That's how I've been brought up. Anyway, I'm planning a mother-daughter trip for my mom and I next May for Flower and Garden Festival. I typically prefer staying in deluxes, but this trip needs to be budget-friendly. We're going down for 4 nights, and our biggest focus will be Flower and Garden because my mom is a big Epcot fan and really wanted to be there for one of the festivals, which are pretty much year-round at this point, so it's easy to do. I'm also excited to check out Galaxy's Edge. Of the moderates, which would you recommend? I'm leaning heavily towards Caribbean Beach, but I'm a little nervous because it's hard to find anything positive about that resort online. Although by 2020, I'm pretty sure all construction in that area will be wrapped up, and I'm excited about the opportunity to try out, she called it the Skyliner? The gondolas, that's right. Anyway, what would you guys pick? Thanks, Emily is up in Seattle, and I'm not sure if she's sleepless. All right, so, yes, I was in... Melissa says I was the best bridesmaid at their wedding.
You were absolutely the best bridesmaid.
And thank you to Jay and Melissa for having an outdoor wedding in July in a black tuxedo.
I didn't have any complaints. I was in a very pretty purple dress. So
it was awesome. But yeah, it's a whole nother level of hot. Like when I get hot down there now in like shorts and a t-shirt, I'm like, remember when I stood out there on the boardwalk in a full tuxedo? And I lived. So quit whining, Mike. Quit whining. Anyway, so best resort. Here's... I think the projection of Caribbean Beach in 2020 is spot on. It's going to be the newest. It's going to have the gondolas. It's going to have a lot of amenities. However, Coronado is pretty sweet. And I think for somebody that's used to staying at a deluxe, I think you really couldn't go wrong with Coronado. Pam, where do you fall on this? I think you're going to be with me on this one. I think Coronado is the most deluxe of the moderates. But I mean, Caribbean Beach may be that in a year. I don't know.
I know. So I am with you. You know, I really love Coronado and we've stayed there a couple times this year already. And the progress that they make each time, the fact that there's going to be sort of two bridges that you can access, the great location right there in the middle of the lake, that restaurant, it's going to be awesome. But I will tell you, last time we were there, we stayed at Caribbean Beach. And because I wanted to see the construction that was still going on, and I wanted to really, I think sometimes there are things that you only learn about when you're staying there. You can tour as much as you want, but there's no substitution for staying there. And so the night that we got in, our plane landed kind of in the evening, and Steve and I needed to go and get something to eat. So we went, and since we're from Pennsylvania, the temperature outside felt downright balmy to us. All the Floridians were still inside. So we took, we ate at the food court that is now sort of in that center town location, and we sat outside and ate it. Well, it was right when the fireworks were going off, illuminations at Epcot. And we were sitting outside, and I will tell you, we had a better view of those fireworks than you do from Yacht and Beach Club.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%, you get a really good view of that. That and the fact that we love that new, the lounge area there. It's an outdoor lounge area that's right by their new restaurant. I think it's the Banana Cabana.
That's it.
Okay. So it always makes me giggle. But
yes.
But that has some great things to eat, some great drinks, and again, a great view of the Illuminations fireworks. So it just reminded me about all the things I really love about Caribbean Beach. It felt so lush. When you arrive at Caribbean Beach, let's face it, y'all feel like you're on vacation, right? Like you're in the Caribbean. There are palm trees. It's very lush. There are banana trees and everything. I think the lobby now looks just so fantastic. They're doing a great job. The fact that the gondolas are going to be there is a big old plus. So I think it's got to be up there in terms of a contender. And by the way, I will say, the rooms at Caribbean Beach are just a smidge larger than the rooms at the other moderate resorts. It was the first moderate resort built, so they are. You know, I think Caribbean Beach or Coronado are definitely your standouts in the category.
Yeah, Caribbean Beach in 2020 is going to be the hotness. You know, like if you want to be at the place where people want to be in the moderate category, that's going to be Caribbean Beach, but trailed closely by Coronado. I love Coronado. It just feels so deluxe. So, Ricky, I say you really couldn't go wrong with either one of us. You know, and I still have a passion for the Port Orleans resorts. Don't get me wrong. I love my Riverside. And even French Quarter, like, it tears me up. Like, I cannot. This is like picking kids, dude. I cannot do the moderates. That just drives me crazy. I really go with whatever has the best deal.
So, honestly, I really liked Caribbean Beach as well. I did not love it before the refurbishment. It felt very dated to me at that point. And I was like, it needs some love. And it has said love. And I know that a lot of the reviews lately have maybe not been so positive. And I think that that's just because they are still coming out from when the resort was under massive, massive construction. And there's still construction right now, but it's not going to take too much longer for that construction to be over. So that's good news. But the resort is beautiful. I mean, it's simply stunning what they've done. I love Sebastian's. I think it is a great and underrated Disney restaurant that nobody's talking about.
That way.
I know, exactly. Shh, be quiet, everybody. Because Sebastian's was delicious. The food court is unique. They actually do, it's kind of like what they do at Beer Guest, in that you place your order and then you go and you sit down and you take your little puck thing and you put it on your table and then they'll bring your food to you, which is nice. It seems like that's what Disney's going with a few other places. Unfortunately, it looks like I'm going to have to eat at ABC Commissary, which makes me shudder. But
hey, it's going to be fancy.
No, it's not going to be fancy. I'm not looking forward to trying ABC Commissary. Once
I like that place. Whatever.
Oh, God, I'm not excited about this at all. Research, all good and bad, right?
Hey, I'll eat there in May and let you know how it goes.
I still have to write about the experience. Okay. So, Mike, you can write about it.
No, I don't write.
Yeah, I know what happens when you write articles. They don't go well. Whatever. So,
I talk.
So, anyway, but I think Caribbean Beach is fantastic, and I would not hesitate to stay there. I think it would be a great option. And if that's what you're looking at and what you're leaning towards, then definitely stay there. So, that's my opinion.
All right, Jack's got a great question in the chat. An easier question. What are your favorite dishes at Olivia's? We're making sure to go there on our next trip. Thanks to you, Mike. All right, first of all, we don't talk of Olivia's outside of this podcast. If anybody asks you, it doesn't exist.
Correct. Yeah.
You act puzzled. You're like, what?
Yeah, Olivia's? You're talking about Cracker Barrel. Yeah. Everybody, pinky, get your pinky up. No, we don't speak of Olivia's outside of our podcast. Otherwise, it won't be as awesome because we can get in whenever we want. All right. So Olivia's, my go-to dish there is the buttermilk chicken. You cannot beat the buttermilk chicken with the biscuit, the white gravy, the potatoes. And man, I had a really good breakfast over Princess. And it was, Scott's still in the chat. Maybe he can remind me of what that was called because he told me to get it and it was so good. But buttermilk chicken for dinner. Pam, what do you also, the Duval burger there is sweet. I know you talk about that, and I've had that once. That was amazing.
Steve always gets the Duval burger. I actually, and I think it's only on the lunch menu, but you may be able to ask for it at dinner. They have a Mallory Square Cobb salad, which is basically a Cobb salad, but instead of chicken, they use shrimp, and they have crab meat on it, too.
Nice.
So it's really good. The other thing that's good there, I think, is they have like a mahi-mahi, like BLT sandwich, only it's made with mahi-mahi and bacon, lettuce, and tomato. And it's really good, too.
God, I wish I was at Olivia's right now.
I know, right? Now place. I'm really hungry.
It's dinner time, and I love that place. Ricky, do you have a go-to at Olivia's?
So I do love the fried chicken, but a few times I've been there, and I don't know if it's still on the menu. I haven't looked at it lately, but they had a prime rib that I've had before. That's fantastic. Oh my gosh. Cooked to perfection. Really, 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 really good. So I've had that before and been very pleased with my meal.
All right, let's get to the next question. Got to get to this right away because it's autumn. She says, currently at Walt Disney World, just got back to Pop Century after full day at Epcot. Man, you're living large. That's sweet. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. She says, considering booking a bounce back offer, are they worth it? Okay, Autumn, yes. Yes. Okay, let me tell you why. You have to book it by midnight the day you check out. So you got to make sure that you put the deposit down while you were there. Not actually while you're there, but it has to be by midnight. By the time reservations closes, which is usually 10 o'clock Eastern, by the day you check out, get that deposit down. Here's why you do this. It's always going to be a pretty decent deal. Usually one of the best deals you can get, but always a decent deal. And when you get home, you can modify your dates. Now, they have to fall within certain booking windows because bounce back offers have, like, you know, windows of availability. It's not all the time, but summer, usually there's a decent availability there. Sometimes in the fall, early winter. And you place that deposit. And if you get home, you need to make a change, no problem. You do that. Even when you get home, if you need to get a refund, you can get that money totally back if you decide it's not for you. However, this is one of those things that it's there. And once you get on that airplane to head back home, if you didn't take care of it, gone. You know, that discount is no longer available. So, Pam, I say always try to get this done because it's if you change your mind when you get home, no harm, no foul. But it's gone if you don't take the chance.
Yeah, it's absolutely one of the better deals that Disney offers. And the great thing about the bounce back offers is not only can you book them with your travel agent, but we can continue to monitor those in case there is, like Mike said, another discount that might be better. We compare each time the discounts are released to make sure that you're having the discount that works best for you. With the bounce back offers too, the availability is usually there for some of these things that is not there for some of the other offers. They haven't really started booking into the resorts yet, usually with the bounce back offers, or it's early in the time that you can book into those resorts. And so there just seems to be a greater availability there. So bounce back offers for me are always two thumbs up for that.
Yeah, and the way I look at a bounce back is it's like your base discount. You know what I'm saying? Like you're locked in, you've got this discount. We can always improve upon it maybe with new discounts, but the thing is, you know, say you're starting at a rack rate. Okay, so you're down here. If you book a bounce back, you're already moved up to here with a certain discount. You know, maybe we can get something that improves on it. You get it up to here, but maybe not. But at least you have something. You know, it's you're ahead of the game no matter what. So, and you can always cancel. Yeah. There's no like you're not locked in. So I say, yes, absolutely do that. And your travel agent could do that for you. Just shoot him a text or let him know. All right. Mm-hmm. Last question. Oh, and by the way, since you are at Pop Century right now, that will cost you one tie-dyed cheesecake. Send it to me now. Oh, man. Okay. So if anybody's at Olivia's right now tuned in, that'll cost you one buttermilk chicken and then a tie-dyed cheesecake for dessert. And I am a happy Mike. And that's my dream world here. All right, last question today from Nicole in the chat. Hi, our family is going to Walt Disney World in July, staying at Pop Century. All right, Nicole, that will also cost you one tie-dye cheesecake. I know the gondolas are not supposed to be open until the fall, but it looks like they're making amazing progress. Do you think there's a chance they'll be opening early? All right, here's what I'm thinking. I'm starting to put my hands together here. And again, this is just pure speculation. This is what I do. Remember when we used to do, what was that, the CarMac? Put the
car,
yeah,
what was it?
Melmac, yeah. Or something? I can't remember.
I don't know. It was CarMac. Okay.
Yeah. Those were awesome. We need to bring those back. You had to listen like 5 years ago. They were awesome. We started every show with one.
It was an old thing.
It was an old thing. But I'm going to put my notepad up to my head. August 29th.
Oh my gosh, no, stop.
That's when those things are going to become operational, just like the Death Star. August 29th. My mark my words. I don't know why I'm picking that date out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, it's a crazy date.
I mean, who picks a date like August 29th? I don't know anything. That's what I'm saying, though. I think that's when they'll open. Pam, I know you really can't lay anything down, but I mean, we're just speculating as Disney fans do. I would say around that time.
You say August.
Late August. A couple days before the end of the month.
I'm actually going to say mid to late September.
Okay.
Wow, look at you guys go.
What about you, Ricky? What do you say?
I think it depends. I know that they're still building the stations. So once they get done with those, it will be a lot easier to open.
You need stations, you know, like parachutes could work in a pinch, or, you know, like quick opening parachutes, or just like a zip line.
So it will really depend on how far along those stations are in July. Right now, they still need some work. Also, you know, I have a feeling that they have to test the gondolas for a certain amount of time, too. So it'll depend on how much they have their rotations. Because, you know, you want them to be safe, right? Yeah. So that's why they're testing them right now, is to make sure that they're safe and they get their rotations in the correct way. So even though they're moving along right now and they're moving along at a good clip and they look good, you know, it's all in testing and their stations still aren't done. So, I think it's probably, I don't think they're going to open it August 29th because that would be a disaster. If they did open it in August, I would suspect it would probably be a little bit earlier, like, you know, the beginning, more toward the beginning of the month. But even that, they may want to get a handle on Galaxy's Edge a little bit better before they open it. So I'm kind of with Pam and thinking maybe September, especially because that does tie in with the fall date that has been announced. It's really just going to depend on logistics, though, and how much cycling that they need to do.
But here's the thing. Every time I call in to make a reservation or a modification on our travel agent line, we get this new announcement that plays every 5 minutes. And it says in the announcement, because of unprecedented excitement, they have moved the opening date up for Galaxy's Edge. So what if we all get really, really excited for the gondolas like I am? Dude, I am so excited for any transportation option. Maybe they'll move them up.
Excitement is money. So, I mean, let's just be perfectly honest. Disney is excited to make money, and that's why they're opening up Galaxy's Edge early. Let's just call a spade a spade. So the gondolas are not necessarily going to make anybody money right now, right off the bat, because it's based off of hotel stays. So they've already locked in their money on those basically right now. So, you know, when they change the pricing structure of the resorts that have the gondola system, then they'll make their money back on it.
They will. Yeah. This is like inside baseball. So when you call the line, you get put on hold. You know, sometimes it's a 20-minute hold, sometimes 30-minute hold, sometimes it's 5 minutes. You never know. But they play this little message so that they know that, like, okay, so you're not like guaranteed to get in the studios if you have, you know, tickets to any park. You know, they just want you to know that as an agency and tell your guests. And I think we all know that. But the thing is, like, you can tell it's like an additional message that they recorded post, like, this other loop that we weighed on hold with all the music. And what happens is, and I don't know if they did this to punk us, if they did this, like, not intentional, just not being careful. There's like 5 seconds of dead air before the guy starts talking every time to tell you this additional message. And it does play like every 5 minutes, it cuts the music out. There's a pause every time. You think a cast member is coming on to answer the call to take care of whatever you need to. So, like, you know, the music's playing, music stops. You're like, oh, yeah, I got a cast member. Sweet. Okay. Remember, Galaxy's Edge opens in late. Yeah. I'm like, no. Quit playing with me. And you get like, and I'm the fool because it gets me every time. Like, I get excited. Okay, so I'll grab my notes. Okay, what do I need?
Yeah, everybody gets excited when they hear that pause. Hello.
It's like it used to be with the music right before. There's a loop they play, and it's the train station song. It's like, welcome to Main Street, US. It's the train. Like, it gets you because there's always a pause, and that gets you on free dining when you're on hold for 5 hours. But anyway, inside baseball there. All right, that's going to do it for today. Thanks for the great questions. Thanks for hanging with us. We've got more questions heading your way. If you have questions, send those to mike@brguestpodcast.com or just join us here in the live chat, usually on Mondays around 5:30 Eastern. Sometimes we're a little bit late because we have computer issues like today, but we got it all together. So we love having you here. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, I know that you're going to be out of town, out of the country, out of the continent here for the next couple of weeks. So what are we reading about on Theme Park News, Disney Edition?
I am. So the first thing I will mention, because it's something that we get questions all the time on, is that Disney After Hours dates are here.
There you go, Alfred.
They're here for May and June. And so if you are going in May, and I told you it would be like 2 months before I'm right, aren't I? I was exactly out of money.
So right.
So if you are looking to go to Disney After Hours in May or June, you can go to the Mouse for Less, and we have the dates up. I did see somebody ask, do you think they'll add more Magic Kingdom dates for June? I don't. That what they have is what they have, and the reason for that is because the Magic Kingdom is usually open late during the summer, and June is the summer, and so if they kept the park open for an extra 3 hours, the park would be open until probably 3 o'clock in the morning, and Disney doesn't want that. So I don't expect there to be any Disney After Hours events for the Magic Kingdom in June. I could be wrong. Again, I've been wrong before. So, and then the other thing is Lightning McQueen Racing Academy is now open at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So if you want to see a really cute show, if you've got a Cars fan in your family, you can go to the Sunset Showcase and see the new Cars show. So those are two little quick tidbits.
Ka-chow.
Ka-chow.
There you go. Exactly. All right. Check this all out. Free app for your iOS devices over at virtualmickey.com. Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. We really do appreciate it. You might not think so, but every little purchase does add up, and it helps us pay the bills. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And I am going to ask you for a huge favor this midweek, and I'm going to remind you again on Friday. If you wouldn't mind going over to iTunes and leaving a rating and a review. Some of these have expired over the last 11 years. I know, it's crazy. But we appreciate it so much. If you could put a few kind words up there and give us a nice rating, we'd appreciate that. So again, just drop by the iTunes store, just search Be Our Guest and leave us a rating and a review if you have not done that before. We'd sure appreciate that so much. All right, so give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Pod and at Be Our Guest Mike, and drop by the Facebook page with over 8,200 other Disney fans. Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday where we're talking strollers. We're talking smoking or not smoking in the parks. And we're talking a lot about a lot of other fun stuff as well. So come on back on Friday. We want to see you here. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.